fun is I like to sing. That's one of my fun things I like to do. So even though we've been shut down and everything, what have you been doing for fun? What have you, anybody want to say what you've been doing for fun? Fishing. Yes, that's good. Fishing is a good thing. Anybody else? Anybody doing? Sewing. Yes, sewing. Yeah. Playing piano. Yes, very good. Because see, the thing is, even though we've been locked down and shut down, people still do things for fun. I have been having fun with this little creature on the screen. This is a broadhead skink. Okay, so I had to look up the name to find out exactly what this was. He lives on my back porch back here. And one day, he got into my house. Now, I was not aware of this. As I was sitting on my recliner, I heard little feet. And so I looked over there by my back door, and this little guy had got a piece of popcorn in his mouth, and he was running back to the back door. And so I'm like, what? So I put my feet down, and I go to get him, and he's gone. I'm like, okay, here we go. So this went on for a while as I was trying to find him, as he was hiding. And I even called Jacob. I mean, I said, okay, I think I got him trapped. Can you come over and help me get him? And he wasn't there. He wasn't there, so we couldn't find him. So this went on for a little while. By the way, Jake said that Maggie was really good at catching these things. So in any case, I would be sitting there, and then I'd hear, ch-ch-ch-ch, and I'd look over, and there he was again, standing in the hall. So one day, I finally got him cornered. Okay, so he was in the back by the side door there. I knew I had him. There's nowhere he could go, and I went in there, and he was gone. I looked everywhere. And then I found a little hole in the side wall, and that's where he went. So thanks to some tape and a net, I finally captured him and restored him to his rightful place on that side step there where he's been living. So he survived. But that's what I did for fun for a while. Everybody does things for fun. What's that? Yeah, but I was afraid more would come in. one of them was enough for me, but harmless thing there. Don't you wish you had a pet? One of those? So anyway, I tried to have fun with it. I tried to enjoy it. And so the thing is, even though we've been shut down, and even though people can't go on trips, and they can't go on cruises, and they can't go to restaurants, people are kind of cooped up, and they can't do things for fun, people are still finding ways to have fun. And in fact, I started studying what people are spending their money on right now. So number one in the study that I saw was online groceries. That sounds like people are buying online groceries, and that saves you from having to go out. But number two was a little bit surprising. It was gaming supplies. Number two, people are spending a lot of money on gaming supplies. And if you have any teenagers, a lot of the teenagers like to spend money on their gaming supplies. And I guess they spend a lot of money on those. Everybody I know that has teenage boys, they have gaming supplies. So those two things, you're probably thinking, okay, well, I'm safe so far. I haven't done any of those things. And so number three is food delivery. It's kind of like meal kits. But number four is a big recreation item. And my friends, if they took this away, there would be riots in the streets just like is happening right now in Atlanta. Anybody want to guess what it is? Alcohol. People are spending money on alcohol. You know, if you started taking people's alcohol away, you would have major protest in this country. And there's other things on the list. Home improvement, like Lowe's, is packed. E-purchases, like Amazon, that's on the list. The general merchandise, supermarkets. But we live in a culture where people like to have fun. And I think it's different for each person. Even the most boring person enjoys what they think is fun. It may be reading a book. It may be sitting around all day drinking and watching TV. To some people, that is fun. Even in the comfort of our own home, we still have fun eating our favorite foods. So I'm not against having fun, and I'm not against doing things for pleasure, because for me, a pleasure is a good cup of coffee, a good piece of fried chicken, a drive in the mountains, or fishing. I like all these. We all have our different versions of fun. Ecclesiastes 2:24, Solomon writes, a person can do nothing better than eat, drink, and find satisfaction in their own toil. This, I see, is from the hand of God. Now, the kind of fun I'm talking about in my sermon today is not things where we're doing things out of thanksgiving to God, but where fun is the ultimate objective. It is the end. But the challenge is that the fun comes to an end. The movie is over. The nice meal comes to an end. The adult beverage is empty. And the bill comes due. And the teenager gets tired of the game. And yet so many people live their lives with the goal of fun, and it never really measures up. Now, I've been in a series of sermons on what I'm sure of, and I can tell you with 100% certainty that I know something that's better than any vacation, better than any drink, better than any food, and better than any possible thing that you could enjoy in this life, and that is the joy of being in a relationship with Jesus. Now, to be clear, God never said and never guaranteed us a life of fun. He never promised us happiness that would make us laugh all the time. But He did promise us a joy that's better than anything that you can find in this world. Now, there's a difference between joy and happiness. Now, we're finishing our series today on the vine, and it's a parable that Jesus told in the upper room to His disciples. And we're not going to read the parable. We've been studying it the last several weeks. But to give you an overview, basically, God is the gardener, Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. It's about the relationship between God and Jesus and us. Basically, God loves us. He cares for us just like a gardener cares for a vineyard. Our responsibility, remember, we're just a branch. Our responsibility is to stay attached to the vine. A key verse is in John 15:5. It says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So after Jesus tells the parable, He continues to teach lessons from the parable. And last week we saw love in the parable. When we're attached to Jesus, the vine, we're going to be filled with His love. And we're going to want to obey Him. Now, that's where joy comes in. And that's where we are today. So I want to invite you to turn with me to John 15, and we're going to be reading verses 9 through 11. As we read these verses, pay close attention to how joy figures in. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in His love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now, there's two differences in a Christian's joy than anything else that you're going to find in this world. One difference is that Jesus is the source of joy. Jesus says, when you remain in Him, you will be in His love. And more than His love, Jesus says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you. I think sometimes we do not attach joy to Jesus. As we study the Gospels, we see that people were overwhelmed with joy and happiness when they saw Jesus. But Jesus was accused of being too joyful. He was accused of being a glutton because He kept hanging around sinners. But there was an inner joy about Jesus. I found this picture here that I thought was a good artist's rendition of Jesus. And I don't think we see this very often in every time we have these depictions of Jesus. But Jesus was a man of genuine joy. I think He smiled. I think He laughed. He wasn't gloomy. He wasn't somber all the time. But Jesus now tells the disciples that His joy will be in them. Now, just in a few short hours, Jesus would die a cruel death. Now He's telling the disciples that He has joy. And what kind of joy is it? What kind of joy does a person have before they die? And here's a forgotten scripture. This is in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 2, and it's kind of a puzzling scripture, really. It says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." What was the joy? Well, Jesus looked past the cross, he looked past all the shame, and he saw the fact that he was going to be with his Father, and that he was going to save us. He accomplished his task. Jesus' joy looked past the present into eternity. See, the source of a Christian's joy is in Jesus. It's not in our present circumstances. Now, the present doesn't look very hopeful, does it? I mean, when I look out right now and I see cities burning, that doesn't tell me happiness and joy. I see a rough road, and I try to be optimistic, but there are obstacles, there are discouragement. Well, a Christian doesn't tie their joy to the present circumstances. Our joy is attached not to something that's pleasurable right now. Okay, so we love our spouse. We enjoy being with our spouse. We may love our pet. We may enjoy a cool morning. You know, Brenda's not here today. She enjoys getting out at 6 a.m. and walking. Not one of my pleasures, but I'm glad she enjoys it. Everybody has. I enjoy a good cup of coffee. I enjoy a trip to the beach. But joy is not attached to a person. It's not attached to the world. A Christian source of joy is their relationship with Jesus. He is joy. When we're attached to him, like a branch is attached to a vine, we receive his joy. And so no matter what happens, no matter what's going on in our life, I know it sounds puzzling, but we have joy. Well, let's look at another difference. The second difference is Jesus' joy is complete. The difficult thing about anything that you enjoy in life is that it only lasts so long. Now, not going to mention any names, but I know that in this group right here is someone who likes to order from Amazon. Okay, Amazon, I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but they love to get those Amazon Prime packages, and they love the thrill. Can anybody relate to this? They love the thrill of getting something in the mail, and they open up the package, and they're like, "Wow, there's something in this," and they enjoy that. They open it up, and they take out their makeup, I mean, whatever you're going to buy from Amazon.com. And then it's like, wow, this is great. And pretty soon the makeup is being used or whatever you bought. And then you got to get another package from Amazon.com because they have the best deals at Amazon. And that's, and some people love that, you know, but whatever it is, it's only going to last so long. Okay, so the vacation is only going to last so long. Our vacation is only going to last so long. Our youth only lasts so long, right? There was a time when it didn't hurt, right? How many of you remember when you didn't hurt? Wow, there was a time, right? There was a time. But it only lasts so long. The body eventually says, sorry, I'm getting a little tired here. Whatever the purchase we make, if it's a house, if it's a car, the thrill and the happiness of that is short-lived. It comes with a promise of happiness, but it only works so long. Jesus offers a joy that is complete. Jesus says, "I told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." The King James says, "Your joy may be full." The New Living Translation says, "Overflow." Jesus' joy remains. And Jesus mentions joy again that same night when he's teaching over in John 16:22. He says, "So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice." And he says, "And no one will take away your joy." Then one chapter over in John 17, Jesus is praying to his Father in verse 13. He says he wants his disciples to have the full measure of my joy within them. You see, when we're in a relationship with Jesus, what I know for sure is that you have joy. A joy that nothing in this world can even come close to. So I've done something a little different in your bullets and in your outline today. I want to encourage you to take this home, maybe stick it in your Bible. These are some good scriptures if you're ever going through some of the problems that I'm going to mention here. And we're not going to take the time to look at everything. But for instance, if you are you having financial struggles? If you're having financial struggles, for me, I'm not going to let not enough money in my bank account, for instance, steal my joy. Because like Paul, I've learned to be content. Whether I have plenty or whether I'm in want, I can do it through Him who gives me strength. How about health problems? You having any physical health problems? I'm not going to let physical problems steal my joy. Because God's grace is sufficient for me, because when I'm weak, power will rest in me. Are you worried about something? Are you stressed about something? I'm not going to let worries and stresses steal my joy, because I remember God's word says that I'm not to be anxious about anything. But if I take those concerns to God in prayer, He's going to give me peace beyond understanding. Do you feel threatened by somebody? We got lots of threats going on in our world right now. But because of my faith, I'm not going to allow myself to be threatened. You know what's happening in China right now? This is not being reported in the news. They're using this virus to go in and shut down churches in China. It's how they're going into house churches right now, and they're destroying them. And when they arrest you in China, you disappear. You may or may not come back. That's what they do in China. It's a dictatorship, and it's happening right now. People are facing real threats. But whatever it is, even in the face of death itself, I'm not going to lose my joy, because I remember Jesus' words, not to be afraid of those who kill the body, because they cannot kill the soul. I have a joy that's beyond this world. Death is as harmless as a sting to me. When you know Jesus, there's that joy. Now, next week, I'm going to start up a series of sermons, ironically enough, on the end times. And so I want to encourage you to come. You might want to bring a notebook. There's going to be so much scriptures on these. It's probably the outline's probably not going to be able to keep up with it. But it's all about the hope that we have in Jesus. What I'm sure of is that I have joy in Jesus. It cannot be compared to the things of this world. Most of them are going to be taken away. I was thinking of that old song, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." I have lasting joy, because I base my life on the One who holds my soul in His hands. Christians ought to be the most joyful people around. Now, don't get me wrong. I know there's some Christians that believe that means they should always act happy all the time. They always have the perfect smile. And you say, "How you doing?" They say, "Praising the Lord, praising the Lord." They're always acting joyful and glad. That's not what I see in the Scriptures. Because Christians legitimately suffered. Remember Jesus on the cross, He cried out in pain to His Father. Christians are going to suffer. And we see this in the book of Acts. We see this, and we've got a good picture here, Paul and Silas. It says in Acts 16:25 that they were praying and singing hymns to God. And that sounds good, but when you look at their circumstances, they had been locked up. And in verse 23 of that chapter, it says they had been severely flogged. They had been beaten before this. They had been beaten and they were suffering great pain, and now they were singing to God. Having joy doesn't mean you're not going to feel pain. And it doesn't mean you're not going to cry. You remember our passage in John 15:5 says, "If you remain in Me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. fruit is the result of Jesus and his Spirit living in you. So what kind of fruit does Jesus produce? Galatians 5:22 says one of the fruit of the Spirit will be joy. This real joy is not a feeling. It's not an idea, but it's real. So what does joy look like for the Christian? Well, I've not talked about my dad in a while, and I try not to talk about him all the time. But because I haven't and I found the perfect sermon, I wanted to tell you a little bit about my dad. Dad had Lou Gehrig's disease. And basically what that means is your mind remains sharp and strong and clear, but your body starts falling apart. So my dad literally watched his body betray him. He wasn't able to use his hands. He wasn't able to use his leg. He wasn't able to even talk. You know, he started losing his ability to talk clearly. And if you knew my dad, you would, in his later stages, you might be able to understand one word that he said. You would watch his lips, and you could read a word. And just, but his mind was clear and strong and alert. But see, my father was an amazing Christian. He was a Christian, and he was a man of joy. And I wish you could have met him, because he had all sorts of joy. He would have brought a smile to your face. When he was healthy, he was a jokester. He loved to joke. One thing about my father, and I think that this picture captures it, he smiled. It was a real smile. And I learned in his later years, this was taken the year he died. In his later years, he would smile, but it took effort to smile. See, all your muscles are gone. So it took real effort for him to smile. But he did it all the time. He smiled. It was real. Now, at the same time, he suffered. He had days when he would just lay in bed and cry because he was facing pain. And he would get bed sores, and they had to turn him from side to side every so often so that he wouldn't get these bed sores. But what he was known for was joy. He had a joy. He had a joy, and I can't explain it to you, but I can tell you it was there, and you could see it. And everybody who knew him knew that he had joy, even though there was nothing in his life that was bringing him joy. Physically, there was nothing he was doing, and there was nothing that was happening, but he had a joy, and he loved to make other people joyful, even up until the very end. That's what joy, and see, one thing that my dad taught me, and I'm so sure of this, is that God gives joy. And he gives a joy that nothing in this world can take away. Now, you might be hearing the sermon today and you may be thinking, well, I've never experienced this kind of joy. Well, it is possible that you might still be young in the faith and maybe you haven't faced anything devastating in your life, and maybe you've never learned what it is to just face something so overwhelmingly terrible that all you can do is trust in God, and he gives you joy. It's possible that you've never done that. Now, it's also possible that at one point in your life, maybe you made a decision for Jesus. Maybe you accepted him. Maybe you were baptized. And for a while, you walked with Jesus, and you had joy in your Christian life. But then you just started wandering away. You started going a different direction. And so what happens, the one thing that you notice is your joy starts disappearing. A sense of loneliness kind of takes over in your life, and a sense of despair takes over. And, you know, God never walked away from you. You walked away from God. But you can always come back to God. This is the beautiful thing about Jesus Christ. Whatever you've done, however you've walked, you can always come back to him, and he will love you, and if you seek him through prayer and the word, he will restore that joy to you. Now, there is one other possibility, and that is maybe you've never experienced this joy because you've never known Jesus. So if you know Jesus, you're going to know this joy. I can't put it into words for you. Maybe you've gone to church, maybe you've even made a decision, and you said, oh, geez, I don't know, I've never experienced this before. But if you know Jesus, you're going to know this joy. So that's why the purpose of the church is to bring Jesus to people and to help people find that relationship with Him. So that's why we have our decision, is to remind you, if you haven't made that decision, that you have an opportunity to make it. Any Sunday, any time, you can make this decision. But what I can promise you is if you give your life to Jesus, things are going to change in your heart. And you're going to find this joy in you. And it's going to be something that you can't even put into words. But you'll know that He's always with you, and He's always helping you and sustaining you. So today we're going to be singing that beautiful song. We used to sing this in church camp way back. Even when Patricia was back in church camp. I'm sure she sang this one here. So let's all stand and sing this one to the Lord.